Check, check. Okay, I think we're good now. Hey, Nick. Is my little mouse thing plugged in? Huh, bummer. Oh, is that awful? Okay, guys, if you guys, we're going to continue on and we're going to finish out 2 Timothy today. So if you guys would turn over in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And, man, I don't know, maybe you can turn me down a little bit. I feel like I'm a little loud for this group. There you go. Is that better? Okay, someone want to say the page when they're there? It's 2 Timothy 4, 9:15. I mean, that's not my page, but... Okay. All right, let me pray for us, okay, before we get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, I just want to approach you and approach your word with great respect and reverence and fear, just knowing that you're the one that wrote this through your servant Paul. So, God, I pray that you take over, that your spirit would move and just take over and speak to us in a way that maybe is unexpected this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so... we've been talking about finishing the race, you guys, talking about crossing the finish line, and I don't know, I don't, hey, Sam, I was just wondering, have you run a marathon? No? Okay, I thought maybe, just maybe. I don't know what it's like to finish a race of a marathon. Like, that's like a huge, long, long race. I've ran 10Ks before. How many run a 10K? 5K? Yeah, there's a few runners out here. So I finished a few 10Ks. 3 years ago, there's a race in Oakland Township called Kermas Terram. And so a few years ago, 3 years ago, Young and I ran this race. And I don't know, I remember it being really easy, actually. I was talking with Young, and I just remember talking kind of through the whole race. We didn't race to like do a good time. We just wanted to finish the race. It's like six some miles, and so I remember at the end of the race we turned the corner because this race is a really cool race because it's kind of running through the woods, through some meadows. There's a part in the suburbs which is not so fun, but then you kind of get out in the fields and then you end up in the woods again, and it's a really just a great just fun race. And so 3 years ago, it was a sunny day, perfect day, and really crisp, just great, September. And so I remember getting out of the woods and turning the corner and just talking with Young, going, wow, that's the end, we're at the end, you know. And we weren't really too concerned about our time, so they gave us little chips that you put, like, on your shoe or whatever, and we didn't even have that. And so when we crossed the little thing, it didn't beep, and the person was like, get back there, your time. I'm like, we don't care. So we're like, okay. So we take our little chip and swipe it through so that we, like, have our time recorded and stuff like that. And then 2 years ago, I did the same race by myself. I was gonna go for a half marathon, but then I realized how much time it takes to, like, run, like, for 2 hours, and I was like, ugh, it takes so long, you know. So... but so a couple of years ago, I took my family, and I don't know, it was kind of raining that day, and so, but it was great for me, because I was running the race in the rain. It wasn't a cold rain, it was kind of this refreshing rain, and man, at the end of the race, I thought to myself, I could almost do like a half marathon. I was thinking, I'd have to double this race if I were to do a half marathon. And I know what it's like to finish school, you guys, so... some of you know what it's like to finish school. You're like, so I remember on my high school graduation day, so it's June, right? High school graduation, the doors open, you know, because we just finished. We used to have ours in the gym back in the day. you know, so hot, like crazy. They have the fans going. People are sweating. They just want to get out. The doors open, fly open. Everyone runs out, you know. And I remember one student, I didn't know him. He was like, "We're free," you know, like this. And my mom was like, "Oh, man, you're free until next fall when you go back to school, you know, like, you're not free yet, you know." And so I know what it's like to finish a race. And for some of you guys, I know for you, you're still in the race of finishing high school, and you're like, you know, some of you have talked to you like, "Oh, I finally finished my apps," you know, I'm like, "Oh, that part of the race is over, and so now I can kind of just kind of wait and see where I get into school or whatever." So you guys can imagine, you know, what it's like. Sometimes it's just amazing to finish a race. Sometimes you finish the race so strong. Like when I ran that 10K, and it's just, you cross the finish line, yes. When I finished seminary, I was on the slow boat. It took me 6 years. I'm like, ugh, cross the finish line. And I've seen some marathons. I've seen some clips. I don't know if you ever watch this, where people are like literally crawling across the finish line of a marathon. They're like, you know, just barely, and if they don't want people to touch them because they don't want to be like dragged across, you know, but they're just barely making it, right? So there's things in our lives that's like a race. And our walk with Jesus is kind of like that. It's this marathon. It's this long, long race that you just kind of have to steady yourself out in. And last week, we talked a little bit about this, finishing the race, right? And Paul has been telling Timothy, he told him several things we touched on last week. Timothy, just keep on preaching the word, right? Keep on preaching the word. And I talked about be the message. And I hope this week, and I hope always, you guys not only continue to preach the word, but you, in the sense of preaching to one another, telling, being verbal about the gospel, but also that you be the message, that you take it to your schools, you take it to wherever you're at. And we talked about how it kind of, like, you're so filled up with God, it oozes out of you. Second one was enduring hardship, right? Tells Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, okay? And the last one was to finish the race. We left off last week where Paul says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, right? And I have kept the faith. And this is what I want to echo in your mind. I have fought the good fight. I want you guys, when I see you guys in heaven, you're like, yep, I went all the way to the end. I was in my 60s, I was in my 70s, I was in my 80s, I was in my 90s, and I finished the race. And man, we can rejoice together. I fought the good fight and I kept the faith. Okay, that's what I want you guys to tell me that when we get there. More importantly, I want you to hear it from the Lord saying, well done, you finished the race. Okay, but I talked a little bit last week about this one, enduring hardship, and I said there's basically kind of three areas that I anticipate that you'd have to endure hardship. I don't know if you remember them, but first one was personal crisis. I remember there was someone in here who was 10 years old. And there was someone who's a 51 years old, and I'm like, look, the 10-year-old and 51-year-old in here, by the time you're in your mid-20s, you'll probably have some sort of personal crisis, whether it be depression, whether it be loss of direction, whether it be losing someone, whether it be sickness, and you'll probably, in that time of personal crisis, there's a temptation to just go, this is not helping me. Walking with Jesus, knowing Jesus doesn't seem to help me, I'm still in a lot of pain, and you might want to just throw in the towel, right? That was the first one, it's personal crisis. The second one was the church. As you go through your faith, I hate to say this, but it's just true. Sometimes it's the church that you'll have to endure. Enduring hardship in the church. Meaning people or leaders in the church will disappoint you. And sometimes that will be what you have to endure in your walk with Him in order to cross the finish line. The last one, I said, was culture. Okay, if you want to endure hardship, the last one is culture. As a whole, culture, you know, as we go through life and we're surrounded by culture, media, everything surrounds us, kind of wants to just pull us or draw us away from Christ Jesus. And that's just a temptation that we have and that we're just going to have to endure all the way through the end. So today, what I want to focus most on is this, whoops, it's not up there, is the church. Sometimes we are going to be disappointed by the church. And how will you respond in this when you come to this point? When you come to this, you know? And what I mean by the church, I'm not talking about the institution of the church. Obviously, the church is not the building. The church is the people, right? Is the people. And man, if you get out into college, you go to college, you find a church there, you know, you may be disappointed there. Maybe you'll graduate from college, get into a church, you'll get a job, you'll get in church, and you'll be at that church for years, for a long, long time. And I'm telling you, if you're with a group of people who are the church, who call themselves Christians, who call on the Lord, who have the Spirit in them, you're going to be, at some point, you're going to have to endure hardship because you're going to be disappointed at some point, okay? So in this last section of Paul's letter, this is what we find Paul in, this situation of enduring hardship, but he's talking about being let down. He's talking about being disappointed, okay? And so here's his message to Timothy in this last section, is that this, it's real simple. It's if in following Jesus, you will be disappointed by others, but the encouraging part is, whatever, you guys, whatever your hardship is, whatever you're enduring right now, whatever you get into at some point, the encouraging news is that Christ will carry you through. If you call out to Him, if you rely on Him, if you trust in Him, He will, like, take you, He will hold you, He will lift you up, He will carry you through if you rely on Him, and He'll carry you through the finish line, okay? He'll carry you through the finish line. So let's take a look at, look down with me in your Bibles, or you can look up on the screen. I typed it on the screen today. It says this: Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books and especially my papers. Okay? So, in following Jesus, sometimes we're going to be disappointed by people, and many times it's going to be by other Christians. Okay? So, remember, you guys, remember the context, remember the kind of the backdrop. I said it, I've gone through this so many times, but I know sometimes it's just like I still don't quite grasp it. Okay? So, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. I'm going to do a little interaction with you just so I can get a sense of where you guys are at. And anyone in the Sunday school class cannot answer this question, okay? All right, so here's the question is where is Paul right now? Okay, Dylan. In jail. He's in jail, right? He's in prison. And where's the prison located? In Rome. Great. And where is... Who's he writing this to? This letter to? Go ahead. Sure. His son Timothy. Is it his biological son? No, it's not his biological. It's like his, because Paul is single, you guys. I don't know if you ever knew that. Paul never got married. But it's kind of his spiritual son. Where's Timothy? I don't know where, wow, you got the front row. See, the front row, you guys, if you sit in the front row, okay. Go ahead. Yes, he's in Ephesus. Okay, and why is he in Ephesus? Does anyone know? This gets a little bit harder now. Okay, go ahead. Right, he was left there at Ephesus. Paul says, I want you to stay there in Ephesus because there's some teachers who are teaching some heavy false teachings, and they're leading the church astray, right? And so here, that's kind of the situation. And this is Paul's letter before, his last letter before his execution. You guys, within months of writing this letter, Paul was let out. Let's see if I can get it up here. Come on. Paul was let out to the third milestone marker on Ostian Way in Rome, and he was beheaded. So, I don't have my little laser thing. I'll just point with my finger. This is probably kind of the road where Paul was in prison. We saw a little short film, remember last week, of him, what it looked like, where he was at in prison. And so at some point, they brought him out here and took him to this mile marker, which is where somewhere along this road, it's like, this is where he was. This is where he died. This is where he's beheaded. He was a Roman citizen, so they couldn't crucify him. Only like criminals and so forth who weren't citizens were crucified. I guess they said that beheading was more a better way to die. I don't know, between beheading and crucifixion, I don't know, that's a tough call. But apparently, like, they're like, we don't crucify our own citizens. That's for criminals, and that's for people outside of Roman citizenship. So they beheaded Paul. All right. And so the exact place is here, called Aqua Silvae, and they executed Paul along these walls here sometime during the year 66 or 67 A.D. So I imagine, think of Paul in prison. You guys, think of him writing this letter to Ephesus, to Timothy in Ephesus, encouraging him, saying, Timothy, stay with it. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't leave your post. Preach the gospel. Keep going in your faith. Don't just drop it. And he's encouraging him, but he's kind of in a tough spot. And I'm imagining, if you're Paul chained to the wall in a cold, damp place, I'm imagining what you want most is your friends. What you want most is people around you, people that you know, people that love you, people that you care, because you know that you don't have much longer, okay? You don't have much longer. And so what happens is that he's talking about these folks, and he's kind of disappointed. He's disappointed in some of the people around him, okay? And so what I want to do, you know, like how sometimes you read God's word and you're just like, okay, Demas, blah, 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 Crescent, blah, 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 Tita thing. You know, you just kind of go through and you're like, I have no idea who these people are. And you just don't really connect with it at all. All right, so let me just tell you a little bit about some of these folks so that we can kind of get an idea of, like, why Paul's so disappointed in the church and his friends and his, you know, in God's people. First, there's Demas. Okay, please come to me as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. All right, so we know that he abandoned Paul, so he's once with Paul, ministering with Paul. And at one point, he goes off to Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was a primary port city of Macedonia. It's just above Greece. And we know that there was probably a thriving church there that Paul had started some years earlier. And most historians think that Demas went back to Thessalonica because that's where he was from. And basically, he went home, right? And so we'll talk a little bit more about Demas. And there's Crescens. Crescens had gone to Galatia. And he didn't abandon Paul like Demas had, but apparently he'd gone on a missions trip. So they think that he went back to Galatia more for more missions, for more like preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, building up the church there. All right? And then there was Titus. Okay, Titus, which there's a book in the Bible written to Titus, a letter from Paul. Had gone to Dalmatia. This was like a mountainous region in the eastern shore of Adriatic Sea. And apparently Titus had finished his work on the city of Crete and gone on another mission trip. So again, these guys are just, this guy had kind of gone back home. This guy had gone on a missions trip. This guy had gone on another mission trip. So they kind of left Paul to do missions. So they're doing good things, but they had just left Paul. Okay? And only from his ministry team, only Luke is left, okay? We know at the very end of the letter there's some other people around, but from his tight-knit group, his buds, the guys that he had been in the trenches with, the guys he'd gone to war with, the guys that he'd just been like, we will work together to share this great news, it's only Luke. Only Luke that's left. And of course, Luke was he was a medical doctor. He was the one that wrote the book of Luke. Yeah, and so he's the only guy that's left, okay? Many scholars think that this guy, Tychius, was the guy, he's the guy that would probably replace Timothy, because he goes, he says to Tychius, I'm going to send this guy to give this letter to you. I want you, when you come, be sure to bring the coat I left in Carpus. So we just heard two different messages. When one part, we were like, wait, didn't he just think he was going to die? I mean, doesn't he's like, probably by the time you get this letter, you know, I'm going to be basically executed. But I think it's this. I think what's happening here is just like, if Timothy, you get to me in time, I'm telling you, Timothy, I would love to have you here. I'm telling you, Timothy, I'm alone. I'm in a tough spot. I don't think I'm going to make it. But if by chance you're able to get this letter and get back to me in time, you know, could you bring these things? Okay, could you bring these things? He wanted Timothy to stop on the way back in the home of Carpus and Troas, on the way back to bring his coat. You know, because, again, he's down in this dungeon. It's cold. And also bring my books, which is presumably, this is probably the Old Testament. Bring me my coat. If there's two things you bring me my coat because I'm freezing. Bring me my books. Bring me the Old Testament so I can, like, get back into Scripture. All I want is just you guys, and I want to be in God's Word. I want to be back in God's Word, okay? Okay, so this is what he wants, okay? So let's get back to these two guys, okay? So we can kind of focus on them. Demas. Demas is probably short for Demetrius. And he's one of the key people in Paul's ministry. You can read about him in Philemon and Colossians. But something happened to Demas, okay? And it tells us what happened. This is what happened. Is that he deserted me because he loves the things of this life and he's gone to Thessalonica. So what had happened to Demas is that, like, look, ministry is sometimes hard. The Christian walk is sometimes hard. And Paul is going around with these guys, and they're going from place to place. And sometimes, I mean, we have it easy, you guys. We really do. Sometimes these guys are getting beaten. Sometimes they're getting thrown into prison. And sometimes it's the travel itself. I don't know, some people in business today, they travel. They just travel a lot, and they're just like, I'm so tired of traveling. So tired of just flying, so tired of driving, whatever. And this is Demas. Demas probably, it wasn't like he just got up one day and left. It's probably that it was wearing on him. It was wearing on him. But the other thing it says is that because he loves the things of this life, or in my version, the things of this world. And so sometimes it's like this. And I've felt this, you guys, I've felt this. Sometimes it's like in your Christian walk, maybe when you're in college, maybe in your high school, maybe anytime, maybe it could be in your 40s, when you are just, like, you look out into the world and you see what other people have and what they're experiencing, you know, and it kind of looks from the outside. When you look at the world, you're like, wow, that doesn't look all that bad. In fact, sometimes it just looks more fun to be a non-Christian, someone outside the church, than to be a Christian, you know? And it's like, why don't I just do that? I could have my Sundays off. I could just, like, go for a jog on Sundays. I could just, you know, just have fun and do whatever I wanted. I wouldn't have any of this stuff, you know? And that's what happened to Demas. He's just like, man, there's just stuff out there that just looks better, you know? And that's what happened to him. And that's what I just want to warn you guys against, because there's always that temptation when things get tough to go, I just think I'm just going to stop. I mean, I just don't care anymore. I'm tired. I just don't want to anymore, okay? And then there was Mark, okay? And Mark's the other story. Mark was with Paul and a guy named Silas, and they were in Barnabas, and they were going around on a journey sharing the gospel. And at one point they went back, and they were out on a mission, and Mark said, I'm splitting off. His name is John Mark, actually. He wrote the book of Mark. And he's like, I'm splitting off. And so they finish off the journey. They go back. And then there's Barnabas and Paul, and they're like going to go out again. They're going to go out on their second or third mission journey. And they're like, Barnabas is like, let's bring Mark. Let's bring Mark because, man, I mean, and Paul's like, no way. We are not bringing Mark. There is no way. Did you see what he did? He deserted us last time. He can't stay up with us. And I don't want, if we're going to go out there, I don't want someone breaking off from our team, you know, because they're tired, whatever. So this is Mark, okay? And so, in fact, they had such a disagreement, Barnabas and Paul, that they're like, fine. Paul says, I'm going to go this way. Barnabas says, I'm going to go this way. Paul says, I'm going to bring Silas. Barnabas says, fine, I'll bring Mark then, okay? So there's these two stories. And so, really, Paul, if you look at this, Paul has a lot of people that were on his team that were like, just kind of like, pull back. I mean, not all of them, some of them were doing, like, things were going on, mission trips and stuff. Like, they were doing the thing, but he's kind of alone, right? And there's disappointment. There's disappointment. And maybe you guys, maybe you've experienced this. I don't know. It can come in different ways. And maybe, like, maybe you haven't experienced this. Maybe you've gone through church life and you just haven't experienced some sort of hurt. Disappointment or hurt from a church member. It could be brothers or sisters, you know, that's really hurt you, and you're like, why? Why? Why would you say something like that? Why would you hurt me like that? Or it could be the leaders. It could be leaders where you're like, what happened? You know? Why would you go off and make this decision? Why would you this? You know? Maybe you experienced that. Maybe you haven't. But I'm telling you that if you're in a community long enough, where you're close enough, and this is like a family. Churches is a family. Like, when you guys are together long enough, man, invariably, something's going to happen. Someone's going to disappoint you, either in a minor way or in a heavy way. Someone's going to disappoint you. Because you can't live together and be real and not disappoint each other at some point, okay? So, what do you do when that happens, okay? How do you handle it when some brother or sister says something to you, hurts you in some way, or a leader hurts you in some way, disappoints you? How do you respond? Okay? Well, we can see it happening to Paul here. How do you respond? Okay? Okay. Here's what it is, okay? I want to share with you guys just real simply how you can respond, okay? I think the first one is just acknowledge your disappointment. Some people are better at this than others. Some people, like, kind of stuff things in. Some people will handle it in the opposite way and just explode on you, you know, just like, it just comes out, you know? But I think first thing you need to do is go, that's hurt, I'm hurt, you know? It's disappointing. And I think that's one of the first steps of going, okay, now let's, where do we go with this? This kind of hurts, it kind of stings. Okay. Second one is to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says, look, if you are in need of wisdom, you can go to God and you can say, I need wisdom from above. I don't need my wisdom. I don't need my smarts. I need something from you, God. And this is the second step of going, like, look, I need some wisdom. I think going to God first is important. Look, you guys, I want to share with you that I think it's, I'm going to go to this, but I think that it's okay, and this is just wisdom. I've got to be careful. I don't want to go outside the word, but I think it's okay to talk with another brother or sister, depending on your motive. So, like, if Dylan disappoints me, like, does something to me, hurts me in some way, I think it's okay to talk with, you know, someone who's close to me, depending on my motive, to go, wait a second, am I on track? Dylan did this to me, and I really want to either lash out at him, or I want to be angry, whatever, but sometimes I think it's okay first to go to God, but it's okay to talk with someone else, depending on your motive for it. Like, I want to make sure that I'm thinking clearly, so I would talk with Sarah, Dylan did this to me. Sarah, should I, like, does it make sense for me to be angry? Am I off balance here? Or did what Dylan do, was that really, like, you know, really awful thing, awful choice on his part, you know? So I think it's okay to talk with other people, but and also you have to make sure that the person you're talking to also has a right heart, like, also is not going to go, okay, well, let's just talk about it with other people, like, spread it around, okay? So I think it's okay, but here's what the Bible, I want to make sure that we talk about what the Bible says. If you guys would flip over with me, turn over to Matthew 18, okay? Matthew 18. We'll just look at it, because, I mean, I wish we could have a whole sermon on this, but we're not going to. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew 18. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Okay? So look, if you're disappointed, if a brother or sister disappoints you, hurts you in some way, in this particular case, you have to discern, is it sin that the person's doing, or is it just you're disappointed? Like with Paul, you could say maybe it's just disappointment, not sin. But the word tells us to go and talk with Dylan, talk with the person who hurt me, just one-on-one, in private. To go, look, man, you've hurt me. You know, after you've prayed for wisdom, after you acknowledge your disappointment, you go and talk with the person, right? Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two along, two others along, so that every matter can be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So if it's sin, in the case of sin, and I talk with Dylan, and it's like, it's clearly sin, and then Dylan just ignores, then that's then you're supposed to go back and grab a couple brothers and go, look, man, look, you know, what you did was wrong, is wrong, you know? And then finally, it says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would as a pagan or as a tax collector. So overall, the purpose is to bring the person who did wrong against you back into the church. The purpose is to reconcile, to like make the relationship right, and to keep the person in the church. I mean, you want to keep the person in the family, right? But it says if the person just totally ignores you, other brothers and sisters, the church, then doesn't mean you hate the person, but it just means that you treat them as like an unbeliever, as one who's outside the church, okay? Okay, so that's what the next step is, and the last one is to respond with grace, okay? You don't have to turn there, but John chapter 21, 15 through 18, is the story of Peter and Jesus. It's after Peter like denied Christ three times, you know, and Christ was resurrected. They're out fishing. Jesus is out on the boat. He tells them to cast over the nets. They recognize who he is. Jesus talks with Peter, and he's like, he shows Peter grace. He's like, I want you back. I know that you're not perfect, Peter. I know you're not perfect. And you guys remember our retreat last year on metamorphosis. We got to understand that, like, look, all of us are in the church family. None of us are perfected yet. So we're all in the process of growing. There's not one of us in this room who's like, this is the perfected me you're looking at right now. So there's no wrong over here, right? There's all of us still are in the process of becoming more like Christ. More like Christ. So we've got to understand that, like, we've got to respond with people with grace. Give them time. Give them time to be transformed, because you yourself and I myself are also being transformed. So remember, A-A-T-R. I'm just trying to figure out a cool way to, like, remember this, but I just couldn't. So all I have is A-A-T-R. A-A-T-R. Okay. Yeah, if someone else can figure out something, that'd be great. All right, so this is how you respond when you're disappointed, okay? Here's a couple other things, and I'll kind of breeze over this because we're not quite there yet. Go back. Okay. So the first thing is to respond with people in grace when they disappoint you. Second thing is look with me back in Timothy. If you turn back to Timothy, is that sometimes it won't be people that disappoint you, but actually in enduring the race and kind of finishing the race, you'll have people actually go up against you. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me, everyone abandoned me. May it not count against them. So, look, here's an example of a guy, a coppersmith, who when Paul was in Ephesus, you'll have some Christians who will disappoint you on the road to finishing the journey. There'll be other people, and I don't think this is where we're at now, who will come directly up against you. Where we're at now in the United States, we still have a lot of freedom, you guys. We're still in a blessed country. Things are slowly changing in our country, slowly. But right now, I mean, we're not like places like in Africa or other places where it's, or in Middle East where, man, if you come out as a Christian, there's going to be trouble. But I think it may be this whole idea of understanding that as you go on your road, on this journey to finish the race, people might come up against you directly. It may come about. It may come about in the future. You know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you may have people coming directly up against you, so that you'll have to endure this to finish the race. Here's the last part, and here's the part that excites me the most. Even though you guys will have disappointment from Christians, from brothers and sisters, even though in the future you may have people coming up directly against you, he says, Paul says, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. All the glory to God forever and ever. Amen. So it's like, man, Paul's like, look, all in all, I don't know where you guys are at in your walk. Right now, it seems to be, when I look out, it seems like things seem to be going pretty good, okay. But if there's a time when you're like, I don't think I can finish, I don't want to finish, I just want to throw in the towel, I think that's the time to go, look, God is bigger. God is bigger than any lostness in our life. God is bigger than any loss in our life. God is bigger than any disease. God is bigger than any opposition in our life. Anything that comes about, anything that the world can throw at us, God is bigger. You guys, God is bigger, right? Amen? Amen. God is bigger, right? God is bigger. And so, I think this is the picture that we have to have. It's like, man, Paul is like in prison. He's going to be executed. But he realizes that, you know who's carrying me along in this race? My father that's carrying me along. It's my dad that's going to carry me all the way to the finish line. And God the Father will carry you as well. If you allow him, he will carry you all the way through to the end of the finish line. I wanted to show you this quick video. It's really short. It's just about a runner. It's a runner from the 1990, before most of you guys were born, 1992 Olympics. Yeah, it's just this guy. And I want you to just pay attention. Just pay attention to this. He give you a little background, just real quick. Wait, just pause for a second. Derek Redmond is his name. And so he has, like a lot of the other runners that we see in the Olympics, he's done a lot of work leading up to this point. I mean, you don't get to the Olympics without winning a lot of races, pushing forth. And what this is a qualifying heat that he to get to the race where you win the medal. It's a qualifying heat. And so he's running this race, and I just want you to pay attention to what his dad does, okay? Go ahead.
Derek Redmond, the best form he's shown since he broke the British record he was in great shape. You know, he was had a chance, possibility of maybe getting a medal there.
Peter Hernandez has got Redmond to aim at, and so too in lane number three is Steve Lewis. But Redmond's got off very fast indeed, and so too is Ismail of Qatar. Down the back straight, he's the fractional leader. Bada of Nigeria has gone very quickly, and Redmond has broken down. He's on the track, kneeling down, and Derek Redmond, on his injury problem, the jinx has struck again.
Running down the back straight, I heard a funny clap or a pop, and I honestly, for a split second, thought I'd been shot. And then obviously I realised I've pulled a hamstring. And then when the pain sort of died down, I remembered where I was and what I was doing, and I remember thinking, quick, you're in the Olympic semi-finals, you prat, get up and start running. And I got to the 200 metre mark after hobbling 50 metres and looked across and all the guys had finished, and it pretty much hit me that, you know, it ain't going to happen, it's all over.
I would have laid there. You know, to be honest, there's no way I would have got up, because hamstring, when you got a hamstring, you know you got a hamstring.
He just wants to finish. His dad's trying to run onto the track to stop him. He's going to tell him, Derek, don't.
The old man went to put his arms around me, and I was just about to try and push him off because I thought it was someone else. I didn't see if he sort of jogged from behind. And he said, look, you don't need to do this, you can stop now, you haven't got nothing to prove. And I said, oh, I have, you know, get me back into lane five, I want to finish.
Now in the greatest arena in sport, he's getting the cheer of the games.
I would never have wanted to be in Derek's shoe at that time. You know, it was a sad moment. It was a, you know, a great moment, you know, in the sport, to be honest.
It's a figure, a picture that just stays in your mind forever, because you don't want to see any athlete having to go through that. You just knew how destroyed he was and just how much that race meant to him.
Yeah, so it's like this. It's like, man, he had pushed so hard for this race, trained and prepared for this race for so long, you know. And just last minute, I mean, just something happens where his hamstring is pulled in. I think the beautiful picture is like he wanted to finish the race. You know, he wanted to finish it, even though all the runners had already finished. You know, there was nothing left, or I mean, he's not going to qualify for the heat. But the cool part is his dad came alongside, and if you see the whole thing, like the whole uncut thing, like there's times when he's like pushing people away because people wanted to like have him just stop and like lay down. He's pushing people away. And his dad comes on, and some people push his dad away, thinking, like, some crazy guy's come on the track. But, like, you know, they're like, no, like, I'm his dad, you know. And so his dad, like, carries him the rest of the way. You know, and that's the picture of our father. The picture of our father. When we cannot do it any longer, when Paul couldn't do it any longer, and when Christ could do it no longer, man, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit who helps us to finish the race. And I'm telling you guys, it's gonna be a long one. It's gonna be a marathon. It's not a sprint like this. So I just, guys, I want you to remember. One, I want you to remember that, hey, look, there's gonna be hardships. People will disappoint you. But we gotta handle the disappointment like Paul experienced. We gotta handle it in a way that honors him. You know? Keep going with each other. And two, again, just allow your dad to carry you if you need to. Allow your dad to carry you. Okay, let me close this in prayer, and close out Timothy and 2 Timothy in prayer, and then we'll respond with one last song. Lord, we confess to you that it's going to be a long road. We're all young in this room, and we don't know when you'll return. Like we sung, we look forward to that day that you return. But we know that there's just going to be problems. There's going to be trials. And Lord, we just give thanks for Paul encouraging Timothy just to stay in it and to keep on walking and to keep on staying with the word and the gospel that we know that's from your word. So God, I pray for perseverance. And I pray that we keep on running. Put one foot in front of the other, and stay obedient to you, and stay focused on you. And we know that problem is that you have the power and the ability to carry us through, that you will never allow anything so big in our lives that we cannot handle it, because you'll enable us to handle it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.